Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, people, hold on to your hats.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, it is. A little ears warning with this one because we are going to talk about faking orgasms. I have our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook, on the line. Hi, Rachel.
Hiya, Jen. How's it going?
Really, really good. Now, I've given plenty of warnings with this one. to get us rolling, can you tell us what actually is an orgasm?
Yeah, of course I can. So an orgasm is a physical reflex that occurs when the muscles of the genitals tighten during sexual arousal and then relax in a series of rhythmic contractions. In someone with a penis, that's often accompanied by ejaculation or the release of semen. In someone with a vagina and or clitoris, orgasm is less associated with the release of secretions, but more and more people are realizing that they can do it. Basically, each orgasm or climax can feel different in terms of intensity and duration, depending on how and what part of your body is being aroused. And besides providing this kind of physical release or relief for some people, it can also be an emotional one. For some people, it leads them to feel much closer to their partner or feel, kind of simply de-stress after a tough day. So that's what orgasms are.
In your opinion, would you say it's a common thing for people to fake them?
Well, I certainly have my opinion, but luckily there's quite a reasonable amount of research out there.
Okay,
and it says that between 15 and 25% of women fake orgasms regularly. 75% of women have pretended to orgasm at least once, and about 30% of men, which is a surprise to some. So basically, while all people of all genders and sexualities do it, it appears to be disproportionately common amongst women who sleep with men, basically heterosexual women, and it tends to be the most common.
Okay. So, yeah. What are the reasons? Why do people do it?
Yeah, so there's loads of different reasons, but the main one is lying to make your partner feel better, which is also known as altruistic deceit sometimes. So basically, for women in heterosexual relationships, faking can be to please a partner, to get their approval, to get the sex over with because they're tired or maybe the sex isn't very satisfying, they're not able to orgasm then. Basically, they don't want to hurt their partner's feelings and they want to boost their ego. And we live in a culture, we don't yet live in a culture where it's fully acceptable to say, I'm not into it anymore. We're only starting to be taught to communicate well during sex. And many of us were taught that it's like actually bad or undesirable to speak up. And then you have like media representations of women's sexual pleasure, which really don't help. You know, way too often sex scenes on mainstream TV shows and films show penetrative sex with very little build up beforehand. I, as you know, don't like to use the word foreplay. In my opinion, I think it's all sex. Seeing sort of PIV or penis and vagina sex as the main course is part of the problem. But basically, on TV, we see very little build up, penetrative sex, this kind of rushed penetration, and then a very quick mutual orgasm in positions where clitoral stimulation is very unlikely. So, you know, then you've got mainstream porn. Some of it has to do with the fact that many people are sexual abuse survivors, and there's lots of reasons why they might find it difficult to orgasm, difficult to speak up. So they might be more likely to fake orgasms. And, you know, most of us are so caught up with being perceived of as abnormal. We're afraid of disappointing people. So that can be another reason. And then faking it can also make some people feel empowered. You know, it can make them feel that you're sort of in charge of your body and you're deciding to do it. So that is another thing that people.
But the main reason, as you said there, is people fake orgasms because they want to make their partner feel good and boost their ego. But if that's the majority of people as to why they fake, how is that a bad thing?
Well, I guess, you know, because the reasons behind when you inquire into why people are doing it, like there could be a positive intention of wanting to boost your partner's ego. But first of all, you're lying to them. You're making them think that they're doing a good job at bringing you sexual pleasure when they're not. And also, you know, then you don't get to experience that pleasure. Now, you've heard me say a million times, sex is not all about orgasms. You can have lots of fun and connection and pleasure without an orgasm. But a lot of these people, particularly women, although it happens quite a lot actually with gay men as well, the reasons when you question them behind why they do it is because they're frightened that their partner, their male partner, will get defensive, angry, be very upset, start pouting and sulking if they say that they're not going to orgasm, or that they haven't orgasm, or that they admit that they have faked orgasms, you know. And that's a real problem, that if the main reason that you are faking is because you're afraid of your partner's reaction to you, you know, that's really crap.
What if you're tired and you just wanted to finish?
Then say that. That's basically where we're going with this. It's yeah. Like, you know, that your partner needs to, both of you, or however many people are in your relationship, you know, basically sexual partners, romantic partners, need to be able to learn. Now, of course, sometimes people's feelings get hurt, for sure, right? I think that's pretty much unavoidable. But just because you're tired is not a reflection on your partner. They need to learn how to not take that so personally. If you're tired, if you had a long day, you know, if this keeps happening, if you're in a relationship where it keeps happening that your partner is turning you down or constantly telling you that they're not going to orgasm because of X, Y, Z, you know, maybe you need to have a conversation about how you can make better space for, you know, sex and pleasure in your life together. But that realistically, we need to be a lot more honest about what's going on for us, because also then you can say, you know, sometimes it might be you're not that in the mood to have sex, or you don't think you're going to be able to orgasm. But that, you know, it's a bit like trying food. You think you're not hungry, and then you have a little taste, and then maybe a few minutes later, you're like, oh, actually, I wouldn't mind a bit of that. And suddenly you're eating a whole meal. It can be the same around desire and sex. You know, that sometimes you have spontaneous desire, and sometimes it is more to do with kind of responsive desire, where you kind of start kissing, touching, doing whatever, and then you get really into it. So I think we need to be a lot more honest with ourselves and our partners about what's going on, so that they can, you know, so that we can all basically be having a much better time.
This texter said to me, I used to think I was unable to orgasm when I was younger with my ex-partner. I used to fake it while having sex because I didn't want my partner to feel bad. I thought there was something wrong with me. Then I met my present partner and I realized it was down to me not knowing what I liked. Not that there was something wrong with me. After discussing what I like and don't like with my partner, I'm having a great time.
Ah, I love this. It's perfect, you know. It's like many people really don't understand, you know, people of all genders, all genitalia, don't understand their own pleasure. You know, people have learned a lot of their sort of sex education through mainstream porn. Sex education at school is usually very sort of functional. It's not really focused on pleasure. So, you know, basically young people and people of all ages just often haven't had, you know, very accurate or comprehensive sort of education around their own bodies. You know, for instance, with the clitoris, people often have that all wrong. A lot of people think that the clitoris is just this little bean, but actually the bit of the clitoris that you can see is just a tiny part of it. There's much more behind that. You know, it's a kind of it's internally a wishbone shape. And the little bean or the clitoral glands that you can see is just about a quarter to a half of an inch long. But it extends backwards into these two branches called crura that are each about 3 to 4 inches long. You know, even just knowing more about our anatomy can be incredibly helpful. And then masturbation, for sure, is for most people the best way to learn about, you know, what works for you. Some people have very, very sensitive parts to their genitals. Some people are much more robust, or, you know, don't feel a lot of sensation in certain areas. For some people, it's so much more to do with the time of the month or the mood that they're in.
Some people don't like penetrative sex like this. I just want to go to this text. Sorry, Rachel. As a gay man who doesn't particularly like penetrative, why can't I say that word? Penetrative. penetrative sex. It's been said to me on many occasions that every other form of intimacy is not real sex. It's very annoying and degrading, to be honest with you. That's from Sean. You touched on it there earlier. You said you don't like foreplay because any touching intimacy is sex, and you know, should be displayed as that and spoken as that, right?
Yeah, big time. And thank you, Sean, for messaging that in. That's an amazing message, I think, especially for you know, a man to write in and say, because I'm hearing this more and more in my practice and from other therapists, that, you know, because mainstream porn is so focused on penetrative sex, you know, basically everyone is getting this idea that there's, you know, this very sort of rigid way to be during sex. And more people are sort of acknowledging to themselves and to others that that penetration just isn't all that, you know, either because it's penis and vagina, or, you know, it could be penis in you know, it could be anal sex, but that people are more interested in generally in oral, manual, toy-based sex, where there can still be some penetration, but that it's not so focused on the penis being penetrating whatever, wherever. So that is, like, it's a great opportunity for people to feel, because I often find as well that people with vaginas, you know, they tend to find penetrative sex just more of a physical and emotional load. You know, it just sort of takes a bit of a toll in a way that it doesn't tend to quite as much for people with penises in general. So it's another way to sort of, you know, if you feel particularly tired, sometimes the idea of being able to just masturbate beside each other or touch each other or have a bit of oral can be just so much more relieving, enjoyable, and just pressure-free than the idea of having, you know, kind of full sex, even if that sex is only lasting a very short period of time. A lot of people are just not warmed up enough, they're not aroused enough, so it just becomes sort of boring, disconnecting, and a bit blah.
So what would you say to people who are listening to this segment and going, I'm one of those people, I fake because of whatever reason, insert reason here, I fake because I'm too tired, because I don't communicate, whatever. What would you say to them?
I would say, take a bit of time to think about the reasons behind it. It's probably some of the ones that I've mentioned. Worrying about upsetting your partner, feeling like, you know, there's this kind of sunk cost fallacy, this idea that you've already been faking for weeks, months, years, decades. So you're afraid that your partner is going to feel incredibly betrayed, possibly very angry and disappointed when you tell them. And very possibly they will be, because you have been deceiving them. But, you know, I think there's lots of ways to think about this and talk about this so that you can, you know, basically have, you know, compassion for yourself and each other about how society has, you know, sort of cultivated this sense of needing to do that, and that you can start to, you know, have a more sort of honest relation and hopefully pleasurable relationship from there, you know, where either you're going to be talking about, you know, only a very small number of people have anorgasmia, which is not being able to orgasm at all. You know, it's actually pretty rare. But a lot of people who don't orgasm, it's just so much more to do with this lack of education around our own bodies and anatomies and pleasure and other people's. So being able to talk much more openly and frankly about that, listen to some podcasts together, go and do, you know, there's so many websites out there now that are just so much more interesting and fun to do alone and together, to just discover more about what it is that you like and that you want.
You never said it.
I never said lube.
You haven't said lube or masturbate yet. What's wrong with you? Are you feeling okay?
I'm under the weather, I have to say.
No, I wonder why you missed out the masturbation, because that is key, isn't it, really?
It is. Masturbation is a big one here. I'm not saying that everybody is obliged to do it.
Yeah.
But that if you really don't want to, it might be worth questioning, like, what is it? Is it to do with a sense of shame? Is it that you find it disgusting? Is it that maybe the way that you've already tried masturbating has felt way too intense, or you feel like you just feel bad because you feel like you're doing it wrong and you don't get it? You know, it's a set of skills that anyone, you know, pretty much can learn, and getting a bit of support around that through, you know, just better sort of education resources can be amazing. And then it's going to make you just so much more likely to be able to talk to your partners about what it is that you like and that they can do and that you can do together, you know, because what we really need to do is keep closing what is called the orgasm gap, which is that, you know, particularly in heterosexual relationships, over 90% of men come, you know, climax every time they have sex. That goes down to way down. It's, you know, sort of like 30% of women compared to 90% of men. And you can now, traditionally, historically, the reasons behind that have been given have been that, you know, women's anatomy is sort of more difficult. But the problem with that is that when people are masturbating, it's roughly the same for people of all genders about how often they orgasm.
So it, oh wow, that is really interesting.
Exactly. People are orgasming at least 90% of the time.
On their
maybe
own.
Closer to 95% of the time on their own. But when people are with partners, so men are still orgasming about 90% of the time, women about 30%. And then in bisexual, lesbian relationships, it tends to go way up. So the main disparity here is when women have sex with men, that the orgasms just aren't happening for the women.
Oh my God, that is a total burn for heterosexual men out there, Rachel Cook. Holy God. That
well,
is so interesting.
It's even more.
That's the stats.
It's even worse for the women.
Oh,
but yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. So do you think if, especially women in a heterosexual relationship, we as women can learn to eradicate faking orgasms, we might see a future where we can get that stat up to even an equal level where men and women climax the same amount of times?
I bloody hope so.
Yeah.
You know, because this is the thing, like, men don't want their partners, you know, to be faking. Most people are horrified to find out that their partner has been faking orgasms, you know. But then again, I also talk, it's a bit like the whole Harry Met Sally scene, that, you know, a lot of men believe that they know, that they somehow know the difference between a fake and a real orgasm.
They don't.
And, you know, lots of people of all genders have had, you know, sometimes a lot of practice in making them seem very, very real. So I would say, don't assume, you know, I'm not saying presume that your partner is lying to you, but also don't assume that you think, just because you think you know the difference between a real and a fake orgasm, that's necessarily true. So, you know, I think that nobody wants anybody to be faking.
Would you say if that's a difficult conversation to have with somebody, like, I can imagine if couples out there go, oh, I've been faking for years, whatever. Like, if you don't want to say that, maybe go off and discover what works for you, is, you know,
totally.
Before. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something you can do. Or you can simply, you know, you don't necessarily have to kind of come out as this huge
faker,
you know, yeah, that you're like, I have this huge thing to tell you and it's so important. It doesn't have to be that big of a deal at the same time. You can simply start by talking about how you've recognized that certain types of stimulation or activities are less pleasurable for you and some are more pleasurable. You can also simply talk about things that you would like to try, and that you know, don't know yet whether, you know, they will be particularly pleasurable or they will lead to orgasm, but you're interested in trying them out, you know, different sort of techniques, ways of engaging, you know, little sort of exercises that you can do together, little practices. So, I mean, there's just so much out there for people to try. So, yeah.
Go and try it. Rachel Cook, thank you so much for this week. We'll chat to you next week, okay?
Talk to you then, Jen.
Thank you. There we go. Rachel Cook. She is a psychotherapist, a mental health consultant. She's amazing. You can give her a follow on Instagram if you like. Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. She always has some really interesting stuff on her Instagram page about everything sex related. Really interesting stuff. Go and give her a follow. Was that helpful? I think it was. I think it was a really good one today. And she will be back next week if you have a question that you would like us to put to her or a topic that you would like us to discuss in particular. It might be the fact that I can't say penetrative. Get in touch with the team 24/7 on jen@rte.ie. Penetrative. We'll be back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.